Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Shavuot marks the moment at Mount Sinai when, according to Jewish tradition, Jewish people received the Torah. But unlike many religious events that are understood as distant moments in history, Judaism teaches something quite strange, that every Jewish soul across every generation was somehow there. Now, that's quite a radical idea because we're living at a time where identity is very fragmented. Younger people, younger generations are in search of meaning, of belonging, of moral clarity. So we wanted to understand this morning, what does Sinai still mean in the modern world? And how does a moment in the desert continue to shape Jewish identity thousands of years later? Joining us this morning is Chief Rabbi Warren Goldstein. We wanted to talk about, try and understand the meaning of Sinai in 2026. A very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. So it's fascinating because when Jews celebrate Shavuot, are we commemorating a historical event or are we actually reliving an ongoing experience?
You know, the starting point, morning, Howard, lovely to talk to you and to all of your listeners. So the starting point, I think, is important to realize that it is actually a real historical event, meaning the 3,338 years ago, you know, the exact year and the date on the 6th of Sivan, the Torah, which is the Jewish month of Sivan, the Torah was given to the Jewish people, meaning God revealed himself at Mount Sinai. The entire nation heard it. It is the only claim in the history of any religion in the world where the claim is made on the basis of a mass revelation to the entire nation.
So it wasn't done in a cave. It wasn't done through a whispering of a word to a prophet.
Exactly. Because you see, to make a claim of this size, that the entire people heard God speak, is so bold that unless it actually happened, you can't make it. Because, you know, if you were to, someone were to arrive and say, actually, last year or 2 years ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, there was this mass revelation and the entire nation heard God speak, it would be incredulous. And so the point is, at which point in Jewish history did it enter into the bloodstream of the Jewish people, so to speak? And so whoever brought it in for the first time, it would be impossible if it didn't actually happen. And this has been part of our tradition, and Jews have been marking this for thousands of years. It's exactly like the Pesach Seder, been marking it for 3,338 years. And so in the starting point about Shavuot is that it is a real historical event. God spoke. He revealed his Torah, and that had implications, for Jews, but for all of humanity, because part of the Torah includes the seven Noahide moral principles, legal principles, mitzvahs, which form the foundation of the basic morality of any human society. And so this was the great turning point in the history of humanity, because never before, never since, has God revealed himself in such a way to human beings on such a grand scale. So actually, in a certain sense, Shavuot is the most important festival that we have, although one can't really compare but it is the foundation of everything else. The reason that we are Jews, the reason that we are still here, the reason that we exist, the reason that we continue as Jews is because we were given a divine mission at Mount Sinai. So this is actually the foundation point of everything. Everything else depends on this moment.
So, in fact, that's where the idea, I would imagine, of Generation Sinai came from. I mean, it's really about this concept that we all stood at Sinai, and therefore we need to make sure that our next generations have a sense of that.
Yeah, well, I think it's essentially this, and we can trace it. You know, there's a fascinating elaboration of this in the Rambam, in his commentary to the Mishnah. He writes an introduction there, and he traces, the Rambam lived in the 1000s, and he traces every generation of scholar and generations of people who were entrusted with the handing over of the Sinai tradition that went from Mount Sinai. It was the written Torah was given together with the oral. Mm-hmm. He traces every single one of them till about the year 500 into modern recorded history. And from there, because he traces it all the way to the end of the Talmud. The Talmud closed in around the year 500. And from there, it's all part of, modern recorded history. So we can actually trace every generation from Sinai till today. There are in total around about 120 generations or so. It's less, because if you give, four, more or less, four or so for every 100 years, four generations per 100 years, so there's like this direct line. But the remarkable thing about it is this, and it's what you alluded to now in this question, and that is the most important thing that we can do as Jewish parents and as a Jewish community is to make sure that the Sinai tradition continues, that whatever we're doing and what Judaism is about and all of the values, the principles that have guided us for 3,338 years continue to the next generation, and the next generation has to accept it and want it and be inspired with it and feel that it is important enough for them to live it and then to hand it on to the next generation after that. If one generation of Jews decides, no, we're out of this system, we don't care, we're not interested.
Let's take a break for this generation. Stops. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it stops. Mm. It'll be the end of it. There is no other nation on earth that has made it through thousands of years and done so in exile. We've held on to this tradition with our very lives, because our lives depend on it, because it is the most important thing that we can possibly have in our lives, which is this divine mission that we've got. And so it is the primary fiduciary duty of every Jewish parent is to hand it on and to make sure that it continues. That's like the heart and soul of everything. Mm. And so, you mentioned this Generation Sinai program. It's only an annual program, but the vision of it was to say, that it's not just for a Jewish day school to hand this on to our children, which is important, but a parent holds the primary responsibility. The school is there as the agent of the parent. In fact, the history of the first schools, the first national schooling system, I think, in recorded history dates back about 2,500 years.
Wow.
To the Talmud, Yehoshua ben Gamla. At that point, everyone was homeschooling, and that led to it led to haphazard ad hoc results, because people whose parents were up for the task did a great job. Those who weren't didn't. And he standardized a national schooling system, the first, I believe, in recorded history. And that was to teach Torah to the next generation. Incredible. And so what you learn from that is actually the school is there on the mandate on behalf of the parents. And I think, just as on the side, it's so important to emphasize the importance of what Jewish day schools are. They are the heart and soul of this community. What makes the South African Jewish community unique is we have in the world the one of, or maybe the highest percentage of Jewish children attending Jewish day schools. Maybe Mexico is the only one that comes even, close, and maybe they are neck and neck with us. But we have around 85-90% of children in Jewish day schools. That is the reason why we are one of the most vibrant Jewish communities in the world. And where you see mass assimilation, like in America, the vast, vast majority of American Jewish children do not go to Jewish day schools. I think it's something like 70-80% do not attend Jewish day schools. That's why in America, by the way, you have an assimilation rate running between 70-80%. It's a direct correlation. And I think an important message is that, it's and especially, I know with the combining of King David Victory Park and King David Linksfield, and especially at a time like this, so important for our community to know and Jewish parents to know that Jewish day schools is the only way to ensure a Jewish future for the South African Jewish community and for your own family, never mind the community, for your own family. And so it's such an important thing to emphasize. So getting back to Generation Sinai, sorry, I took a bit of a detour there. But
don't worry, it was an interesting detour, nevertheless. Our listeners love information. So you know, those kind of stats, it just works, I have no doubt, for our listeners. Let's talk, but let's get back to Generation Sinai.
So Generation Sinai was, you know, it started 18 years ago in 2008. It's been 5 years since then. And I started it with the view to say once a year, let parents come to school and learn Torah with their children. So you don't say it just in the hands of the teacher. And every year we've created content. The Jewish day schools across the country in Cape Town, Durban, Johannesburg have all been amazing, amazing partners of this. And the amazing thing is that, and the schools have all told me this, and I saw it myself this year again. I was at King David on the Linksfield campus, and I was in Cape Town a few days later. The program in the schooling calendar, this I've been told by a number of schools, you know, anecdotally over the years, that attracts the highest percentage of parent participation is Generation Sinai.
Incredible.
Because the parents feel, they feel like this need, which is an amazing thing. You know, I sent out an email yesterday to the community just saying to the parents, I salute you. And I really feel that. I salute you because, look what you're giving your children. And a thing that I've learned over the years with parenting is that our children are not so much listening to what we say, they're watching what we do. Mm-hmm. And when we show up and we actually do with our actions, that shows an incredible thing. So this program was created with that vision as a call to say, listen, okay, this is only once a year, but actually take this magic with you home and continue the learning process. That's why this year, for example, we created these discussion cards. It was a game for pre-primary and then for primary school. It's like a family bonding game, discussing cards where you discuss and debate.
Yeah, I was actually quite upset that I didn't get one of those because I saw those photos and I kept looking at these cards thinking, I want to play this. In fact, one of our listeners saying the content was absolutely brilliant this year. So what were the cards?
Well, so the cards were like talking cards, meaning there was like a debate.
Yes.
So each card had like a yellow and a blue, and they gave two options to one question. You know,
right.
And they would debate: Would you rather do this or that?
So or, field, you know, conversation.
Do you think it's more important? Mm. Do you think it's what comes more naturally to you, to have faith in God or to try your best, or and try and achieve the result that way, or you know, and debating different personalities, or you know, saying the hidden miracles of Purim. Are those greater than the revealed miracles of Hanukkah? And what is the power of a hidden one versus a revealed one? And then there are no wrong answers and no right answers. Both have got different dimensions, and parents and children then discuss and debate. And the idea is that we wanted to make the content something that was not just sort of didactic, linear, saying, listen, here's the sheet, consume the information. It was about having like a living, engaged discussion, because that's the heart of Torah learning, is chavruta, this idea of, you know, sharing and debating and discussing. And that's the connection point between parents and children, you know, that sense of like debate and parents learning from their children and their children learning from the parents. So it works. Kind of works in both directions. And the cards that we created actually was too much content to get through on the morning of Generation Sinai. And so the vision was like, continue now, tonight at your Yontif tables, Shavuot, you know, at your Shabbos table, and make Torah learning between parents and children part of the culture of your family. You know, and I know from a personal point of view, like when I think about, you know, raising our children, for me, what I've done over the years, and even now with my adult children, over all the years, I've always made sure to set aside once a week to learn with each child,
Chavruta,
just the two of us together. Yeah. And to be honest, it's the thing that's like kept me sane over all these years. I've been in this position for 21 years as chief rabbi. That's enough to drive you to distraction. But
I can kind of imagine.
So amidst all the chaos of speeches about the Pope and the President and the this and the that, you know, the anchor for me is learning Torah. And on my, you know, my own learning, but more importantly, the learning with my children, because that is like a moment. It's pure, it's bonding, it's special, it's elevated, takes you to another world. And what is more important in life than giving over those Torah values? And then connecting with your child. And there's something about when the two of you are sitting with the Torah text opposite each other, discussing and debating, and then other things, you chat about this, chat about that. It's like a moment of like intimacy, of connection, of shared vision. And it, for me, it's like held me over all of these years. And so that's why also for me, Generation Sinai has been so special, because it's kind of my way of like explaining that and showing that to the community and saying, listen, try this for yourself. It's just the most amazing thing.
It's Karen who is an educational psychologist, says, please can the cards be uploaded, maybe on the Chai website? We'd love to go through the idea. So Karen, I was actually talking to the chief rabbi yesterday, and I said we dropped the ball, because here at Chai, we should have actually been a lot more active with it. But please God, there's next year. And, we are looking to become much, much more part of the community. And this is exactly the type of event and initiative that we want to get behind, because it's just the most incredible initiative.
And also what I would say to Karen and to any of your listeners, email my office, okay, office@chiefrabbi.co.za. Anyone who wants to get access to the digital, we also have a few leftover packs that were from the schools. So anybody who would like to pick up a pack or would like to get a copy of the digital, email my office@chiefrabbi.co.za. And address, ask Devorah and we'll help you.
Yeah, I think that's amazing because people who don't have kids at that young age would still be amazing to be part of this initiative, because it really is the very essence of what this is all about. And I think that what you were saying about learning with your children, sort of being this a safe harbor in a way from the madness of what is out there. And we all live it to a greater or lesser extent. Everybody does to some degree. And that is just moments of pure peace, really, and so powerful. Carry on.
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to link all of this back to Shavuot, because we are living in a time where we are quite literally assaulted by news. We are assaulted by accusations, by fear to some extent. We have a magnificent community here. We've got something special. Sometimes it's easy to forget that because we're living in a world without borders and filters. What is your message? What can we take with us over Shavuot to strengthen us through this period?
It's a great question and an important one, because the beauty of our community is we have the most amazing shuls. And I would say this, Yom Tov is starting. So firstly, there's an opportunity for 48 hours plus of total tranquility, because phones off when Yom Tov comes in, pick it up 2 days later.
Absolutely.
It'll all be waiting on the other side. So it's like a break. It's a break from everything. It's like a real Yom Tov and something special. But all of our shuls, and I know this from my colleagues, and I've been seeing on some of the rabbinic WhatsApp groups and in touch with many of my colleagues in the rabbinate, the shuls are all putting on the most amazing programming over Shavuot. Go to your shul. Find your nearest shul, go join the learning program, take your children with you if you have, or your grandchildren with you, or take yourself and go and join in. And there's something so special about being part of community, but also of learning Torah and reminding ourselves that we are part of this tradition that started 3,338 years ago. We had the privilege then as a people to hear God speak to us, and that word continues to us to this very day. But the real tangible, practical thing we can do, like go to your shul over Shavuot, go tonight as Tikkun Nel, join the learning programming. There's so much inspiration out there. All the shuls have got programs that are learning all the way through the night. It's amazing what is happening. I know I'm speaking in a whole bunch of places tonight, walking from one place to the next, and the vibrancy, the energy, the everything. It's magnificent and beautiful. And I would just say to all of your listeners, make sure to get to Shul over the Shavuot, come tonight to the Tikkun Leil, be part of this. And I guarantee you, if you immerse yourself in this Shavuot, it will be the greatest spiritual, emotional, psychological refresh that will, you know, it just brings that centeredness and the balance and the structure and the inspiration that that forms the basis of our lives.
And that is where we leave it, Chief Rabbi Warren Goldstein. Thank you, as always. Thank you for those words of inspiration and wishing you a Chag Sameach, a good Yontev, and
thank
Shabbat
Shalom. Thank you so much. Shalom. Chag Sameach, everybody.